Support for The Dirtbag comes from cable listeners and from One Green World, a family-owned nursery and garden center located in southeast Portland, providing fruiting trees and shrubs, berries, vines, unique citrus, nut trees, vegetables, and much more to people all over the United States. Information at www.onegreenworld.com.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 11 a.m. It's time for The Dirtbag.
Oh, that's alarming. That is a good line. It's alarming how charming it is to be a farming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the second Wednesday of the month. We've reached The Dirtbag, a garden variety show. And here with me is my co-pilot, Jim Gilbert, all the way from the Liberal Nook in Clackamas County.
Glad to be here, Glenn. Nice ride up this morning. I mean, I took the bus, Max, and walked.
Wonderful day for it.
Beautiful day. Yep.
Yep. Well, we've got a full show here on this April, what day is today? The 10th. And we've got a little bit spring weather coming. A few days here and then back into the 50s, but then mid-60s next week. So
I think we can officially announce that spring has arrived.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's see here. What have we got going here today? That's the wrong one. Oh, we have some little business to take care of here. First, our winner for the garden stumper last month, Brian, we did not get a good phone number for Brian. So if, Brian, if you're listening and you were the winner, please call and maybe Ty, our board operator, can write down your email address or give us the correct number.
And that number is, he should call.
Well, that's a good point. 503-231-8187.
And that's also the number for people that have comments or questions. And
that's right. Yeah, that's right. Or when we get to the new garden stumper, to answer that one.
That's right.
So, Brian, give us a ringy. Okay. Jim, have you had enough of the eclipse coverage?
You know, it was so fun. I thought about it. I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, we had a nice eclipse in Oregon. I went down to
17.
Silverton to watch it. And I don't recall any kind of coverage like that. I mean, it must be because so many people live on the east and the east side.
It must be. So good for that. Boy, there was a nice sliver of a moon last night, though. That was fun. Very, very sliver.
Very sliver, huh?
Yeah, so to speak. Yeah. Okay, anyway. Our plant of the month, columnar apples. In fact, we do have an apple theme this whole show. Mm. As Jim doesn't know about this.
I didn't know.
We exchange emails, but we don't really talk about it too much. The theme. We're pros.
That's right. That's right, Glenn. We've done this for a couple of times now.
Yeah, I'll give my. I'll mention it once again. You know, this is my 50th year in radio. 50.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm still practicing, though.
It's going to take me a few years to catch up with you.
Yeah. You know, in all those years, it's all been volunteer, except for one, it was about a two-month stint that I had a paid gig at a country western radio station in New Mexico.
Huh.
Yeah. I was just traveling. visiting a friend at the time and thought, oh, I should get a job. So I did.
It's a part of your
country western. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I have to tell me more about your history with that.
That's Yeehaw! You betcha. Okay, yes. Okay, so continuing with our apple theme here, we're going to talk about bagging apples. And this will really come hot and heavy probably more next month, but I did have a listener write in and asked if we could talk about that, mm-hmm. bagging apples, so I'm happy to do that. She also suggested, could we post a video? And that's not going to happen. I'm just too busy right now. But hopefully you can give a good enough explanation there. Also, you know, is it time to plant stuff or not? We'll talk about cold season crops, warm season crops, and yes, there's still time to plant bare root stuff.
Yeah, better do it soon, though.
How soon?
Well, I would say this month. You know,
Yeah. I mean, not by this afternoon, but soon.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, the next 2 hours.
Okay.
But yeah,
should have plenty of time.
Those bare root plants, you know, they keep the nurseries keep them in a cooler typically, so they stay dormant. But you just want to get them in while it's still spring and not hot and dry and
right. You know, yeah, might some rain could help there. Yeah. This I'm going off topic here just a little bit here, but I did some. What do they call that? Softwood grafting. No, softwood propagation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you do anything like this, but I did it about a month ago, and I'm just asking for your expertise here, Jim. And I used a little bit of rooting hormone, dipped it in that. This was the Seven Suns flower. Mm-hmm. It's a tree. It's mm-hmm. a nice, it's a wonderful, airy tree, but it has great blooms that honeybees like in August. Mm-hmm. Which is a good time for that. But so my question is, there is some new growth showing, but does that mean anything?
Well, first question I have is, you said softwood. I mean, that's normally what we mean by the new growth that's already come off. The tree is already growing, and we're taking a cutting that's
green. Well, it's last year's growth.
Okay, so we call that hardwood.
Hardwood.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the, yeah.
Yeah. Well, how long ago did you do it?
Month.
A month, and if it's starting to show some life, that's a pretty good sign. You know, you don't want to pull it out to see if it's got roots, but that's a good sign because otherwise, if it wasn't doing something, you probably wouldn't see new growth, or if you did, it would not be very. It would happen earlier, and then it would just die
off.
Yeah, so that's good. That's good. That's promising.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of the first time that I've ever done this. This type of propagation, mm-hmm. and it's kind of fun. I think I have 6 starts, but I do remember someplace in my reading or experiencing that just because there's new growth doesn't necessarily mean that it's taken.
Yeah, well, that's true. But after a month, that's better. That's showing it now because it shows that there's still energy in the stem.
And it did say the directions that I was following to pull off all the new growth at the when I plant it.
Was there new growth? Was there already?
Oh, there might have been a little bit of a leaf starting.
Interesting.
Yeah,
but there were dormant buds.
Well, apparently not. If they were.
That's what I mean. So what's pushing out the new growth now?
Well, I'm hoping new roots.
But I mean, was it coming out from a dormant bud, or where's it coming from on the stick?
Well, right above where I, right below where I cut it, at a bud.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there must be a dormant bud there that survived your first pulling off of the leaf.
Yeah, yeah.
Because normally when you do a hardwood cutting, you do it when it's fully dormant.
So, right, so I realized I was a little late.
Okay, well, let's hope for it.
Yeah, right, okay.
Give us updates every month. Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and then, you know, I don't know, I'm leery on how do I check.
Well,
let it go for another month or so.
It'll check for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's not good, I would say by the time of our next show, you won't have anything if there's nothing. If it's not, doesn't have some roots to be supporting the leaves.
Okay. Well, dear listeners, thank you for indulging me. But you too could have this same experience by calling us up and chatting about what you're doing here, 503-231-8187. Then we will talk about, we got the garden stumper, the new, and what Jim's breeding for new varieties for the Pacific Northwest. We'll get a little update on that. I'll briefly talk about onion types and our Dirtbag Dictionary, Stock, and Calyx.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Also Apple-related.
Mm-hmm. That's
or
right.
Could be.
Could,
yeah. Right. And then our documentary update, Jim has a showing of the Anne Oregon story in at the Hollywood Theater next month on May 9th. So we'll get another show in.
Very excited about this.
That, so.
Hollywood Theater.
Right. And that's not really what's annoying me, but I think it's more of a safety issue. But it's kind of annoying when vehicles, especially when I'm on my bicycle, they signal. I mean, I should be thankful for something. They signal as they're turning. You know, they're not giving me any advance warning that they're turning like the law requires. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, Jim, what was your... would you consider your most used tool this last
I thought you'd probably ask me that question.
I'm going to do that every month. So.
Sure. Well, let's this time the saw, the pruning.
Oh, the pruning saw. Uh-huh.
Actually, probably my little electric chainsaw, my battery-powered chainsaw.
Still doing that one,
I've been removing more unwanted plants, yeah. And I'm going to do it this afternoon probably, too. It's a nice little tool.
We've talked about these.
Boy, I mean, for years I used a gas-powered chainsaw, you know, brum, 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 and stink.
If you can get it started.
Stink and noise and all that. And boy, this is it's a real nice tool.
You pull the trigger and away it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing is just the chain bar oil that you need.
Yeah, that's on the oil and be careful.
You don't want to let it run out.
Yeah.
Okay, I have been, I've planted peas and some other things, so maybe a hand hoe, because pull furrows, and I've done some weeding, too, with that, so probably that. I've been mostly busy with bees and house projects. So, not so much in the garden.
I'm glad to see bees flying around because we have a lot of flowers, right? And a lot of things flowering right now. Mm-hmm. And we've got, there's a gentleman who's put some mason bees at our place to actually raise mason bees. He's using them for propagation to make more of them. And so he's got some I guess you'd call them hives of the tubes, you know, and on the place. So,
nests.
Happy.
Okay, well, we'll start off our apple theme here with columnar apples, but Ty, I'm going to talk to our board operator here. Did you get the tunes? Did you find the tunes? Okay. Well, let's just take our first musical break here, and this has to do the whole theme of the music is kind of the same too, but it's more about bagging apples because that's what we're going to talk about. So here we start out with Earl King, the old blues guitarist. Trick bag.
12 o'clock at night, you walk out the door. You told me, baby, you were going to the drugstore. But in my mind, I knew you was lying. The drugstore closed at 8:45. I said, I saw you kissing Willie across the fence. I heard you telling Willie I don't have no sense. The way you've been acting is such a drag. You done put me in a trick bag. When I come home, you start an argument just to keep me from asking where my food's and when. Walk in the front door, I hear the back door slam. Peep out my window, somebody's taking it on a lamp. But I saw you kissing Willie across the fence. I heard you telling Willie I don't have no sense. The way you've been acting is such a drag. You done put me in a trick bag. We had a fight, then you got mad. Got on the telephone, called your mom and dad. They came a running down with bats in their hands.
Don't you hit her no more, you understand?
But I saw kissing Willie across the fence. I heard her telling Willie I don't have no.
acting is such a prank. You done put me in a trick bag.
Well, it's a nice little storyline there.
Yeah.
But I'll have to admit, I don't know what a trick bag is.
Yeah, I don't either.
Didn't look that one up. I did look up some other stuff, though, that surprised me. A couple of things here. So I did listen to a podcast the other day about a program that asked listeners for new slogans for the United States to replace E Pluribus Unum, which was replaced by In God We Trust in the 50s. So they asked for a new one, you know, suggestions. And the one that they, you know, they had 1,000 entries or something. They weeded it down. And the one that won was, it's kind of good. Even our biggest detractors stay here. Or even our biggest critics or something like that. So, anyway, let's get on to those columnar apples.
Sure.
Our plant of the month.
Great. Well, there's a story about columnar apples, which I think is fascinating.
Maybe you should describe what they are first. Sure.
So some of you probably, listeners probably know this, but the columnar apple is an upright growing apple tree that does not form lateral branches. And so it takes up very little room. You can put it really close to your house. You can put it on your balcony. It just goes up. And it bears, and the typical columnar apples bear fruit on spurs, perennial spurs. So they bear fruit from the pretty close to the base all the way up to the top, and they'll keep doing it as the tree gets taller and taller. If you want it to stay smaller, you just cut it off, and then it will send up more vertical branches going upwards, which will also bear fruit, and it'll become bushier, but it will still stay very columnar. It's kind of a radical form, and it came originally from a bud sport on a Macintosh tree in British Columbia. And the original, and our orchardist saw this genetic mutation, and they named it Widgick, which I believe was spelled W-I-J-C-I-K. Maybe the guy was Polish or something. Anyway, it's a funny name, but for a number of years, it was marketed. There was some marketing done of that name. Trees with that name. But, of course, it isn't a commercial variety. It's not something that you would, I mean, it grazed. They bear a lot of fruit, but you'd have to plant them, you know, 2 feet apart, and that's a lot of trees on an acre. So it's expense, you know, work out for that. So I knew nothing about this until the 1990s, and I was traveling, and I was in Sweden, and I saw columnar apples in Sweden. I thought, wow, that is really fascinating. I've never seen this before. And they began importing them into the U.S. from England, where they had done some breeding work, and they had developed the varieties there. But those varieties were not any good. The fruit wasn't very good. They were disease prone. And I discovered that in British Columbia, the Summerland Experiment Station, they had done breeding work. And they had disease resistant varieties with large, tasty fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So, needless to say, there they came down to One Green World, my nursery at the time, and Northwoods Nursery, and we began propagating columnar apples, and they took off in popularity because they're so easy to grow, and really they're the varieties that we have. We right now at the nursery we propagate 4 varieties. The original ones was Scarlet Sentinel and Golden Sentinel. Those were the ones from Canada from the experiment station. And then we have one called North Pole, which used to be called Hawkins, which is a Macintosh with a columnar Macintosh. And then we have a new one called White Icicle, which is from our own breeding work, which is a very attractive, very white-fleshed green apple that is very, really good. So we're pretty excited about them. And my partner, Lorraine, right now is continuing to do breeding work. We're working on a red-fleshed columnar have that too. But the nice thing about it is they bear a lot of fruit all up along that tree. I mean, it's amazing how much fruit they bear. They're disease resistant, easy to grow, require very little, if any, pruning. I mean, there's nothing.
You know, you don't have 4,000 varieties to choose from, but you can find something
absolutely
in those 4 varieties.
Yeah, and just for listeners' information, the The North Pole variety ripens in early September, Golden Sentinel in mid-September, Scarlet Sentinel in late September, and White Icicle is also a mid-September ripening one.
Well, mid-September, you're going to have to bring some in here, so we can do a little sample here.
Darn right. I had one time had a friend who knew plants, and he was walking through our mother block, and he was eating in North Pole. I said, you know, that's a darn good apple, he said to me. I thought that was kind of neat. Good to eat.
Yeah.
It's a Macintosh, basically, but
yep.
Good in our climate. So they're definitely worth planting, I think.
Columnar apples.
Yep.
Okay. Well, regardless of what kind of an apple it is, it probably is going to have pressure from the apple maggot or the codling moth, two pests that will lay their eggs on the nearby, and then they will crawl into the apple and lay their eggs. And then the eggs hatch into little larvae, and the larvae eat the inside of the apple.
Yeah.
Not such a bad thing if it's the codling moth. It's just kind of a one, it's in and out type of thing.
Yeah. Mostly it eats the seeds and makes a hole. That's what the codling moth does. We don't have apple maggot at our place.
Yeah.
Which is really fortunate, I guess. Do you have it here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
I'd say almost everybody has a problem with it. It's kind of a beautiful insect, the apple maggot fly.
Mm.
And it's hard to tell what's the head and what's the tail the way it's for me. Yeah, anyway, it's very small, maybe eighth of an inch long or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't spray our apples, and I have one variety I can store. I'm still eating them. Picked them last October, and they occasionally I'll find a codling moth in them, but a lot of times not. But I just sort of put up with it because it's just
codling moth is it's doable.
Yeah.
Not so with the, the other. And so the idea with bagging apples, I'm not sure if Ted Swenson, our esteemed late Home Orchard Society organization colleague, comrade, did he come up with this? He kind of did. I remember him saying one time that he was watching his girlfriend and shopping at some place, going from maybe at Nordstrom's or someplace, and he was just waiting while she was trying on shoes, and they had these disposable nylons, if you will, to if you're going to try on shoes, you put those on first. And so it just struck him. I said, I wonder if that would work on an apple. And so that's the first time I'd heard of it, this idea of covering each individual apple with either a disposable nylon, which is how we started out, or then I think we moved to the paper bags, small like sandwich bags, and then the Home Orchard Society started ordering these disposable nylon footies in by the gross. What's a gross?
144, I think.
Okay, well, it was multiple grosses then.
Yeah, right. Lots.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they work too. But I prefer the paper bags because they compost, for one. That's the main reason. And they're cheaper. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that for the paper bags, this is what I'll speak to now. What you do is you leave the bag flat, like it comes, and then you turn it to the bottom of the bag, and with scissors, just cut a small slit. Sometimes I cut three or four bags at one time, if you have good scissors. And the idea is that you don't want the slit much bigger than the apple size that you will be putting it over.
Mm.
And the key is to do this when the apple is pretty small, maybe fingernail size. But we know that they've been pollinated. And you'll have a pretty good idea that they've been pollinated because, we have a cluster of blooms, and is it always the same number? I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Well, anyway, is it always an odd or even number? I got a lot of questions
there. I know, like five would be a number. Possibly.
Yeah, maybe more. You know, could be more. Because you know sometimes they're all five of them are viable. You can't even pull them off, and you don't want to pull them off. And so when I'm bagging the apple, generally the center one of the cluster of blooms is called the king blossom or the king apple, and that will generally be the bigger one, but not necessarily the one that you're going to save all the time, because maybe that one has a tooth mark from a squirrel that tried to think this was edible. So I just evaluate it as I go, and I thin it down to one then. And in fact, you should be doing, you know, thinning is a good practice to do, even if you're not going to bag the apples. Mm-hmm. Most I don't think orchardists do that, or maybe they do it chemically. I don't know. What do you do, Jim, when you have – you don't do anything.
Do anything.
whatever you get is what you get. Yeah. But you will be rewarded with larger – fewer but larger apples and probably better quality. And so – and so I'm thinning at the same time that I put the bag on. So I want to have – you know, I don't want to wait until mid-June for this, because they could be an inch in diameter. I want them smaller than that, mm-hmm. although I have done it when they're an inch in diameter and there's been no pests in there yet. And so then when you have the little slit in the bottom of the bag, you can put your hand in the bag now, and you can open that slit from the inside of the bag to slip it over the apple. And it just – and then close up the slit, and it just hangs there. And I staple the bottom – well, what's now the bottom of the bag, which was the large opening, which was the top of the bag. Mm-hmm. And I leave it on there until August or so, when the danger has passed for these two pests. And then you can take the bag off. And I'd like to give it at least several weeks to color up if it's a red apple. But it doesn't seem to hurt the quality and its sweetness. I do have some photos of where the bag, you know, the bag gets bigger and bigger. And sometimes it kind of pulls the bag apart. Where and so it does get some sunshine at the top, and you'll sometimes see a square there where it's red. The rest of the apparatus is green, right? So it does require that sunlight to ripen.
It's interesting. I was as you were talking about this, I was thinking about buying, if you have a lot of bags. I think they still call it cash and carry. There's a place that sells wholesale stuff for groceries, and there's one out on 92nd Street just off of Highway 212 in Southeast.
I don't think it's called that anymore.
Maybe,
but
it isn't, huh?
Yeah, it went to United Grocers, and I think it's even something else now. You know, it's been bought.
But it's
kind of a wholesale place that's open to the public.
Well, yeah, we buy it. That's because right now Lorraine is doing all this breeding work and bagging a lot of blossoms.
So I got a thousand of them, or a gross at least. I don't know, 20 years ago it was like Paper Merchants or something like that in Southeast, kind of near Reed, someplace over there.
Well, I'll try to go by there before the next show and tell listeners where the name of that place. But some people may already know. But it is if you're going to buy a lot of bags, it's a lot nicer place to do it than going
right. And these are, you know, number two or number four sandwich bags. They're a penny or two a piece.
Yeah,
hopefully. Yeah. And then, but now other people use nylons. These are disposable nylons that you kind of just slip over the apple and don't really secure it in any way because it's tight enough. Mm-hmm. And I've seen reusable mesh bags. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to try again this year, and I did it 1 year, I don't remember how many years ago, 15 or 20, I bagged the tree. I have some small, they're not freestanding because they have to be secured because they're mini dwarfs. They're on P22 rootstock. Mm. And so I used some shade cloth, no, not some shade cloth, some floating row cover that you might use in the garden to cover up your vegetables to prevent flying insects from flying in, or aphids. But I used clothespins to just secure it. And while it looked kind of weird, like you're painting your house and you cover all the foliage, but It was very effective, and it was a lot. It was more time consuming. So I think I'm going to, or less time consuming. So I'm going to try that again.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder if you could do the same thing that Lorraine's doing with covering the whole, just to use the bag the other direction and just put the bag over the branch with the fruit.
Well, I've thought about, if you can cover the whole apple, that would work. But I've thought about if somebody made sleeves that could fit over a branch, a 3-foot long sleeve, mm-hmm. so you might catch many apples.
Well, those sandwich bags, that's what we're using right now for that very thing. And they're a long white bag that does, in many cases, work that way.
I even experimented with plastic sandwich bags.
But plastic would be a problem, wouldn't it?
No. Nope, they worked. Huh. You leave it open at the bottom. A little bit open it so it can, because it's going to sweat in there a little bit.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Yeah.
But no, it's been years since I did that, but I was surprised at how successful it was.
Hmm.
So anyway, that's our primer on apple bagging. I did put one photo of my espaliered apples with bags on, mm-hmm. and there's probably 60 or 70 bags. People used to ask me, and you bag every apple? And I said, just the ones I don't want worms in.
I would say, I was thinking, Glenn, maybe we should give the listeners our phone number again, just because, they...
Okay, we're going to do that because we got, guess what?
It's that time already?
It's right, the stumper.
Oh, my gosh.
Right, so 503-231-8187. Are you ready for us, Ty? Let's get that world party going. Yeah, I think he's got them all covered there. I don't know why, which, who, where.
So, yeah, where, when.
Right. So we did have an answer for last month, so we don't have to give that out now. So here's the new one here. I think this is guessable. What non-nutritive, non-caloric product was once banned in the U.S.? And I've grown it in my garden. That's a hint. And you can grow it, too. So there's some hints there. Non-nutritive, non-caloric product was once banned in the U.S.
By non-caloric, what is that? What should you define what that means?
It means there's no calories in it. Okay, well, if you know the answer, 503-231-8187. And the first correct answer will get a free garden hand tool sharpening from Coley Farm Store in Northeast Portland, 42nd and Alberta Street. As we all know, sharp tools are better tools. I'd probably rather have a sharp, mediocre tool than a dull, fine tool. Okay, yeah. That's also the number if you have a gardening question, 503-231-8187. Okay, well, we skipped over, and we're just going to have to catch up here a little bit about cold season versus warm season crops. It's still too cold for warm season crops, but it's perfect for cool season crops. So that's all of the coal crops, the brassicas, the broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, greens, lettuce, peas. Anything I missed there? Yes, of course.
This is planting those crops.
Yeah, you can put them out now.
Put them out, yeah.
But it's too early for tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, green beans.
Yeah, we were 34 last night out there in Little Nook.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, it surprised me. We were down 39 our place. I had my seedling peppers and tomatoes that I'd left out, but I got them in at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But... And we've talked about this, but the reason that I bring the tomatoes and the peppers out from my kind of greenhouse area is to harden them off, and that is to toughen them up. So get the wind out there, get some of those intense rays, and you don't want to do that immediately, but you do want to ever increasing length of time first day 15 minutes, then 30 minutes, then you'll work your way up to it and be out all the time.
And if you wanted to plant just some, if you want to start, could you start right now planting seeds of these things?
Outside?
Or no, not outside. I was thinking just
for the warm season crops?
Yeah.
Oh, it might be a little late, but I remember a gardener told me one time that he planted his garden on July 4th, and it still worked all right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, our climate's pretty nice that way. I mean, we had a long fall. And
Yeah, so you could.
Yeah.
But and you could seed some of those other things outside too,
mm-hmm.
the cool season crops.
Yeah.
My peas are coming up just fine.
I
here.
Bet.
So.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it looks like we have a call there, but we don't know yet. Okay, so that's cold season. All right, what's going on out on the farm?
Well, exciting stuff. My partner, Lorraine Gardner, is just obsessed with breeding work right now. And
plant breeding.
Plant breeding. Yes, that's right.
And it's an inside joke.
Yeah, of course.
And, so to speak.
And the focus of our nursery for all the time it's been in existence basically has been home gardening. Home garden, and there's a sad kind of lack of research done on fruiting plants for the home garden. Almost all, 95% of the research that's done on fruiting plants by research stations around the country and probably the world, but at least certain, not maybe not the world, but the country, our country has been on commercial crops.
That makes sense.
And, you know, they have, you know, commercial growers have very different ways of dealing with problems. They spray and they're happy doing that. Well, relatively so, I guess. And home gardeners are not. So a very important part of our work is selecting, or in this case now, breeding varieties that are disease resistant and don't need require spraying. So, and also, we don't, you know, we're not looking at fruit that's we're gonna put in a modified atmosphere cold storage for a year. We want fruit to taste good, you know.
That's good.
Take it right off the tree, you know, when it's ripe, and just enjoy it. And you know, I've got an apple that I really like, and I can store for a number of months. But I don't, you know, it's no big deal. There's no big problem with it. It's a wonderful flavor and nice variety. So, anyway, that's the work that's going on. So we started out with peaches, and we have a very special greenhouse. We call it the rain house, where we have some peach trees growing in the ground. And we're crossing some very interesting varieties that are prone to peach leaf curl, which is probably the most difficult disease for us to deal with here in the Northwest, that are prone to that. We're crossing them with disease-resistant varieties like Oregon Curl Free. Now, this takes a while, and I'm sure all the listeners are quite young, so they'll be able to listen as years go by to to the progress we make with this. Because you can imagine, the first step is what's called emasculating the flower. And that's not a simple thing. It's like Lorraine has become very good at it, but she learned from a breeder in New Jersey how to do it. And you basically take off the stamens and just leave the female part, the center part, the pistil, for pollination, and then you pollinate. You don't need to cover the flower because when you've taken off the petals and the male part of the flower, the insects are not attracted to it, so it's not going to get pollinated by something else. And then you pollinate it, you know. And then of course you wait. Hopefully it'll bear a fruit. Then you take the seed from that fruit. And in a case of a peach, you crack the seed, take out the kernel, stratify it for a winter so it's cold, then plant it. And
mm-hmm.
then you have a little seedling peach tree that comes up. And then you immediately, I mean, pretty quickly, you can start seeing any disease problems start showing up pretty quickly.
Do you grub that out right then?
And you take those out. And so it's a process.
How many would you say she plants it at once?
Well, her goal is to do several hundred.
And
you can imagine that's several hundred flowers that need to be pollinated. And then after peaches, she was working on pears and then cherries. And we have this fascinating project we're doing is Prunus cerasus, which is pie, which we call pie cherry, tart cherry. Mm-hmm. There are some varieties that are quite sweet. Most are pretty hard to eat, but there's a couple of really cool varieties. And so we're doing some crossing of those with a columnar form of cherry to make a more compact tree.
Well, that would be good for cherries.
Yeah. And then our focus on pears and apples. In some cases, in pears, it's also a columnar pear, to have a really nice columnar pear that can be grown like a columnar apple. With apples, it's also columnar, but it's also red flesh, which we're interested in. Just have something different. And the red flesh apples typically have pink flowers, which is also kind of fun. So anyway, this is what's
well, one of these years we should have Lorraine on, because how long have we been doing this? 15 years or something? And Lorraine just gets referred to as your partner.
I know. Maybe I can get her to give me a ride up to the station.
Oh, well, why? When you're here, why don't you just come on in there too? Yeah, right.
Yeah. I've got the car key in my pocket. I'm sorry, you can't drive home yet.
All right. Well, we need to move on here, Jim.
All right.
You'll keep us updated on all those things if Lorraine doesn't.
Sure.
Right. Okay. Let's go to our the turntable again. That's just old talk, because we don't use turntable for our show, but we do have an old goodie. Papa's got a brand new bag.
Mm.
God, Papa's got a new bag. Mm. James Brown, the hardest working man at show business. It's hard to turn down the hardest working man in showbiz, but
yeah, you know, it's funny. It made me think about this morning. Will Selzer's music program, Pastors. I think he calls it Pastors of Plenty. Anyone Wednesday mornings, he played Joni Mitchell's song. Take Paradise, Put Up a Parking Lot.
Oh yeah,
I just saw that, because it was it was some really great music. If anybody's up at 5:30 in the morning. Between 5:30 and 7, every weekday, there's great folk music on KBOO.
Well, these days I am.
yeah, me too.
Okay, well, moving on here. I just want to briefly mention about onions. I've talked about this before, but, you know, what's the benefit of planting a set? They call them onion sets. These are just little tiny miniature dried onions, you might guess. Mm-hmm. And then seedlings. Mm-hmm. Or starting from seed. I don't recommend starting from seed outside, because the idea is what we want to have the biggest green, the most green that we can of the onion before the daylight changes in June, because that determines the size of the bulb then. The more green, the bigger the bulb. So ideally, you would start onion seeds in February and then transplant them out probably this month or so. But alternatively, you can plant the little sets. You know, they're about the size of nickel, maybe a dime or nickel. And you're limited in the varieties that you can get in the store, whereas when you get seeds, you can do whatever you want. You can do Walla Walla sweets or more storage onions. And by the way, the difference of those, why it's sweet, is because the lack of sulfur in the onion. But if you have a storage onion, you want more sulfur, because that helps to store. Walla Walla sweets don't last but about a month, and other sweet onions there too. So it's just something to think about, and you can still get, I'm sure, onion sets, I mean starts now in the garden stores. You know, it might be 4 inches of green on them. So consider that, or the sets. Yeah, and then don't let them run out of water.
They're pretty easy to grow.
They are.
And they're very rewarding. I mean,
I love them. Yeah, and they can store those for, you know, I've had onions that I'm still using the old ones when I plant the new ones. So,
right.
Pretty good there. So, okay, well, let's move on to our dirtbag dictionary term. I was going to suggest the word calyx, and we talk about the calyx end of a fruit, particularly apples, but we probably could refer to that in the pears and whatnot too.
Sure.
And then I've always referred to the other end as the stem end, but I think the more technical term is stalk. Have you heard that, Jim?
No, I haven't.
Stalk, yeah, that's what this one place where I looked.
Hmm.
Stock.
Okay.
So we don't have any, we haven't had any calls on our dirtbag, our garden stumper, and I want to give the answer here before the end of the show, but I'll hold off a little bit. So if you know what non-nutritive, non-caloric product was once banned in the U.S., and it's no longer banned, and I'll just keep giving hints until somebody gets it here.
Well, you've stumped me.
Well, some studies suggested it may be linked to cancer, but it's no longer prohibited. And in fact, in 2008, it was granted GRAS status. You know what that is? GRAS?
We're not talking about Diet Coke, right?
Not necessarily. GRAS status means generally recognized as safe.
Oh, got it.
So I grew it just because it's sweet. More hints. Okay. If you know the answer, 503-231-8187. Okay, we have time for a little bit of documentary update.
Well, I can't wait to tell you. And I hope that listeners out there that might be motivated to share this with their friends, I hope they will do it too, because we're very excited. We got a date at the Hollywood Theater in Northeast Portland, where I used to go when I was a kid, actually, growing up in Northeast Portland. And a wonderful theater, big screen, great sound. We're going to show the film, An Oregon Story, there and on May 9th. Doors open 6:30. Probably could come even earlier than that. And show will start at 7. I'll be there for sure.
All right, and, star. Yeah. What about Jimbo?
Yeah.
I mean, Joe. Jobo.
Well, Joe's plan. My partner in this project is going to be there too, I think. And so we'd love to meet you. Anybody would like to come by and say hi. And, this film project was so exciting and so interesting. And so May 9th, Hollywood Theater. I think it's like 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard. And,
yeah, you can't miss it. It's in there someplace.
Yeah, cool theater.
The Hollywood District.
Yep. And then our website, anoregonstory.com, you can go to that and you can get the link to the theater where you can buy tickets for the showing. And you can share that information with your friends. And so I'd love to see a bunch of dirtbag listeners show up. You could bring a banner.
Maybe I can free my schedule up then, too.
Boy, that'd be
well,
great,
we have some calls here, Jim. Let's see if it's for the garden stumper.
Okay.
Or if they want to stump us. Oh, no, not that one. Hello.
It's a guest.
Okay. That's what we like.
Okay. Stevia.
That's it. That's it. Stevia.
I've been growing stevia for about 12 years now.
And how do you use it?
I dry it and I use it as a sugar substitute in all my teas.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Do you crush it?
I just, a half a teaspoon, throw it in with the other herbs, and that, it equals about a teaspoon flavorful of sugar.
So you crush it.
Not really.
Dried. Okay, and then you strain it out.
I have a Excalibur dehydrator.
Oh, okay.
I grow a lot of herbs, and I dehydrate them.
Yeah,
and
excellent.
And store them in my mason jars.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyways, so...
Okay, trivia. Well, that's it. That's the answer. So if you will stay on the line...
Ever.
I'm sorry?
Go to Portland. I live out in the valley.
Oh, okay.
I'm internal combustion engine adverse. I don't like driving, but I live out on a farm, so I always have to drive whenever I have to go into town. So
okay.
Where do you live?
I live on a Filbert farm in Cornelius. Uh-huh.
Filbert. She said Filbert, Jim.
Yay. That's good.
Do you grow the Filberts?
No, my landlord does.
Oh, I see.
I have a very large garden and an orchard and chicken. Yeah.
And probably all the nuts you want come fall.
Yes, I actually glean them after he's done his harvest.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's great.
Well, all right. Well, you are entitled to the free hand garden tool sharpening if you'd like. I'm sorry?
Maybe we could give that to somebody else.
Well, is it? Ty, did we have another?
Donation.
Okay, we'll keep that in mind.
Thank you.
That's very kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks
okay.
for very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a perfect way to use it, because if you're using loose tea, you're going to strain that out too. So, toss it in there.
When you said there was something that got me the idea of stevia.
Yeah,
that's good. Glenn.
I was thinking aspartame. We don't know. That's not a plant.
No.
That still may be banned. I don't know. Should have done a little bit more research.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything more on the documentary?
No, I think we're...
We have a little bit of time here. I do want to tell the story, though, about my last tune.
Okay.
This is what I learned.
Sure.
Okay, but we will have another opportunity to remind listeners.
I should mention, there might be listeners who don't live in Portland who would like to see it. And if you go to that website, anoregonstory.com, we have a listing of all the other showings. So it's like we're going to do Cottage Grove, Cannon Beach, Astoria. We'd love to. It's a lot of fun to see it with a group of people. You can watch it at home on your computer, but it's definitely nice to go to.
How far east have you gone?
You know, that's been a big challenge for us.
Huh.
Hood River. We haven't been able to get further east of there. And I love anybody who knows somebody back on the east side that would be interested in helping us show this film. We'd love to do it. It's a great Oregon story.
Okay. Well, I will... We're just about out of time here, but we'll have time to get our last tune started before the next one comes on. But this was Apple Scruffs, which is a title of a tune by George Harrison from his first solo, I think, LP. It was a 3-album set. But he came up with this tune, term, Apple Scruffs, in the 60s, the late 60s, before the Beatles broke up. Where he would call, that's what they referred to the fans that would amass outside the Apple Studios there in London. I think it's in London. But it wasn't derisive. And in fact, later on, he wrote this song in honor of them. And in fact, when he was done recording it and all that, he invited them, I don't know if it was all of them, in to listen to it, because they were protective of the Beatles from just casual fans or whatever. This is what I read on Wikipedia. But and the reason that I went there is because there's not very much instrumentation on it, and one of them is a harmonica, and I said, I wonder who's playing harmonica on that. Well, it's George himself who's playing harmonica and guitar, but it said that because of his long beard, he had a hard time playing the harmonica.
Hmm.
So, anyway, there's one other musician on there, their band roadie, Mel Evers, I think it is. If you have not seen the Get Back miniseries, which was on Disney Plus a couple of years ago, on the Beatles, the recording of their last, the last recording that they did, and then the rooftop concert that became part of the Let It Be album. It's wonderful if you're a Beatles fan. Okay, let's say goodbye. Jim, thank you very much.
Well, Glenn, it's been a pleasure as always. And our next show will be May 8th.
Yes.
Yeah.
Four weeks from now. The earliest in the month we can do it.
Yeah.
And boy, then we'll really be into gardening.
Yep.
Time at that point.
Yeah, can't wait.
Okay. Thank you, Ty, for making it in, rushing in, almost apparently. And to our listeners, our very kind listeners. So we'll go out with George Harrison after the show.
Passers-by all stuff like he had no place to go. But there's so much they don't know about the apple scrub. You've been stood around the years, seen my smiles and touched my tears. How it's been a long, long time, and how you've been on my apple scrub. Apple scrubs, how I love you, how I love you. Surely show.